The big question in your mind will be, well, if there's an invisible body here, which is my body, how do I become conscious of it? I believe that was the very core of the Christ teaching. How do you become conscious of your invisible body? There's really no point in teaching about one if you can't become conscious of it. When this difficulty made itself known to me, I found I had to be very quiet and obedient to the Spirit. I had to show the Spirit that I meant business and would accept guidance. Spirit will only come where there is a willing, yielding consciousness. And it will not come because you have decided that there's something in this world that you want. Spirit isn't coming to you to make your human life happier. Do not be deluded into thinking that when you attain the Spirit, you will then have a happy, healthy, wholesome, wealthy, safe, secure life. That would be another half-truth. The disciples were crucified. As Jesus was to all human eyes. But they had done their homework very well. They had gone through their own inner crucifixion before the outer crucifixion occurred. They had died before they died. They had died to the false sense of self. They had been through the first resurrection. They needed no second in the visible. Now, in order to feel the invisible soul body, which they felt, which they experienced, and which went through crucifixion untouched, it is necessary for us to finally come to that place where we're willing to obey one specific command. Thy will be done. And only thy will. For until you have learned the secret of that statement, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you will be in a human sense of body wondering how to find that invisible body, and the best you will get is a glimpse here and a glimpse there. You will find that the sense of will which moves you through the day is deeper seated and more subtle than you have dared to imagine. Your very human life itself is your sense of will. Everything you do that is not in the Spirit is your human sense of will. The very serpent in the Garden of Eden is the human sense of will. The devil in the Bible is the human sense of will. Judas is the human sense of will. When you surrender your will, you surrender your mortality. For mortality and the human will are one and the same. Where is this human you? How far back does it go? Can you really locate the human you? Is it deeper than just a mind and a form? you'll find that finding the human you is a task all by itself. Because you don't know what motivates yourself. You don't know how far back these motives go. And no matter how you strive to unearth you and to find where you are, you will always find that something else happens and you move in directions you hadn't planned to. You're like Paul. What I would do, I do not. And that which I would not do, I find myself doing in some strange way. You are moved by forces beyond your control, and they move right through you, making you do things that you hadn't intended to do at all. Giving you goals that you hadn't intended. And you will discover that the human will that moves you is not your human will at all. Your human will is a servant of the world will. The mass consciousness is your will. It wakes you up in the morning. You have nothing to do with it. It is your will to do this and your will to do that, you think. But it is not your will at all. The only will in you is the will of the Father. And all that usurps the throne of that will is your false sense of self. You find yourself doing all kinds of things that appear good, desirable. They won't be the will of the Father at all. They'll be your mortal sense of good. And that mortal sense of good will be planted in you by that talking serpent. You may think certain things are good for you, but you've got to learn that that will which thinks so is your enemy. Your Father knoweth your needs. And if you want to experience that invisible body, which is the body of the Christ, you must yield that human sense of will before because it has created a second self. The mortal self that you walk in is the visible expression of the will of the world expressing in you. A false personality, a false sense of self, even a false mortal structure, all of this is held together by the world will in you. And that's why the name Satan, devil, in the Bible could never be understood. Devil is the will of the individual, the human sense of self. The only problem on our earth is the conflict between the will of the Father in you and the will of the world in you. The will of each functioning through you creates the division which appears outwardly as your problem. If you were single-willed, obedient only to the will of the Father, the one will, having no will of your own other than that will of the Father in you, you could not have a conflict of any kind. For the will of the Father fulfills itself perfectly at all times. And therefore the secret of harmony is to live in thy will on earth as it is in heaven. The absence of conflict between my human will and the will of the Father is the absence of the outer discord which expresses visibly that conflict. And so it may come to you that the first order in which you attain awareness, living consciousness of your soul body, is to surrender that will which is the very core of your human sense of self. We are all reluctant to do this. But when you make the effort, you discover that it not only is possible, but new vistas open. Now, I want my will to be functioning in you, says the Father, without opposition. Because any opposition you have to my will would be fruitless. It will only set up a karmic system and a violation of my will, which will penalize you generation after generation. And so the will of the Father says, come unto me, rest in me, abide in me, let my will be the only will in you. Consciously, instead of attaining my will, crucify your will. Your experience, your function on this earth is to erase your human sense of self so that your divine self can walk through the false experience of death that the human mind encounters. And you will do that first by surrendering your will. And I said to the Father, how can I do that? I can't even recognize my will. It's done things before I know what to do. Sometimes it's gone so far that it takes a long time to repair the damage. And the Father said, well, why don't you be still and take no thought? Remember the little head of the turtle that comes out from under the shell? Your will stick its head out. Watch when it does. And so you watch. You're looking for your human will. Nothing happens. And then begins the little bud of desire. An innocent one, perhaps. I think I will do so-and-so. And that's that little head of the turtle coming out from under the shell, and you pounce on it, and you say, no, you won't. You have nothing to say about this body, nothing whatsoever. Only the Father's will in me, not you. There is no second will in me, only the Father's will. Poke your head back under that shell because you have nothing to say. Well, that might be the first time you ever actually have said to your will, I'm sorry. What you had in mind might be good for you, but it isn't what the Father wanted. I'm only interested in what the Father wants. And so the will gets pretty smart and it disguises itself. Now it sticks its head out and says, I'm going to do something that I'm quite sure would be approved by God. Let's go over there and help Mrs. Jones. That sounds fine. Certainly God wants you to help Mrs. Jones. So you're all ready to do that. Until something happens inside that says, wait a minute. If it's the Father's will that Mrs. Jones be well, why isn't the Father doing something about it? Why is he waiting for me? And then you will hear the voice say, I already have. I am the perfect Christ in Mrs. Jones. You can't help her. I am already there doing it. She is perfect as her Father. What about this little will that said, run over there and help her? This little pretender was denying God's omnipresence. And you fall into the trap very quickly. And so before you go over to Mrs. Jones, you first, in consciousness, say to the Father, what is thy will? And the Father tells you, recognize the truth of Mrs. Jones, and then whatever you do will be ordained. Oh, you might go over to help her, but the Spirit will go before you because you know that I am there. And then you are alerted to all the little disguises of the will. It wants to get its own way. It's going to do some nice things. And it's also going to try to glorify itself when you're not aware of it. And so now you're not concerned with the outer world. You're concerned with overcoming this will. At first it seems like a hopeless task, but when you begin to master the art of overcoming your will, you see that your false sense of self is going with it. There's less and less of a you there to oppose the reality of your being. You are emptying out a way for the imprisoned splendor. I said, Father, I've got the idea. You don't have to tell me anymore. I'll do it. And the Father says, wait a minute, I haven't dismissed you. All right, I'll listen some more. The Father says, I want you to do that all day. All day. I don't want you to do anything else today. But Father, I got to do this and that and the other. No, that's your will. My will is do nothing today except what I am telling you. All right, Father, I'll do it today. And then said the Father, I want you to do it for 29 more days. 30 days. 30 days of just following your will, Father? Yes, 30 days. So that you get the habit so deeply ingrained that automatically you will do nothing but my will. And when you will only do my will, you'll find that you won't even do that because my will do itself through you. You will be an instrument for my will. You won't have to say, yes, I'll do that, Father, or no, I won't do that, Father. You will remove all will, and my will function as your being, as it did in my Son Jesus Christ and in those who learned his way. My will in you, on earth as it is in heaven, is the only way in which you can function in the kingdom of God on earth. There is no other way that you can function and feel and experience and know my grace. For my grace functions only in my will in you. That is crucifixion, and that is resurrection, and that leads to ascension into the life which knows no end. My will in you is the only way in which you can know God aright. Now, is it worth the time, the effort, the love to watch your will and crucify it daily? If not, you will continue in all forms of half-truth. You must learn to crucify the will. You might say, well, that'll just make me a little mat for people to walk over. Your Father knoweth your needs. Your Father who seeth in secret will reward thee openly. I in the midst of you am your will, and I am greater than he who walks this earth. Do you see how the crucifixion of your will is the acceptance of the I in the midst? And when you're unwilling to crucify the will, it is because you're not willing to accept the all power of the invisible I. That's the conflict, the fear, the caution, the uncertainty, the unwillingness to yield me that I may walk in I. And it isn't done with broad strokes of words. It isn't done with elocution, with affirming and denying. It's done by the daily, minute-by-minute discipline of standing porter over that will and saying, you go back into your shell. You are not running this form or this life anymore. You might as well face it. You're an imposter. You're a second self, and there is none. And no longer will I follow the talking serpent. When that talking serpent is done, you're without a human will. But the divine will in you is moving the Christ of your being in the divine pattern of life. And there are no conflicts in that activity. Now you say, I have a job and I am a housewife and I have a husband or I have a wife and I have these four children and next week the grandchildren are coming. How in the world can I do that? What's the difference? What is going to happen next week or the week after? If to live in the will of God is our function, it's to live in the will of God under every and all circumstances, regardless. There are no exceptions. The Christ doesn't even stop for an intended crucifixion to change its course. It puts up its sword. I live in the will of the Father. That's the name of Christianity. Whatever ye shall ask in my name, in my will. And if you do not live in that will because you have this excuse or that excuse, you're not only rejecting the will of the Father in you, but you're making it difficult for that will to function in the other individuals that you are accepting on a human level. You're malpracticing them as well as yourself. Now, I know this is difficult because I have to pull myself back all the time. And I have more time to do this than most of you. But you're always running off because something else is calling your attention, and before you know it, God is forgotten. The pressures of the moment are the only thing on your mind. And the reason God is forgotten and these pressures are accepted is because we have not spent the time to ingrain the habit so that without taking thought, the will of the Father in me comes forward doing what must be done in spite of all appearances around me. Now there is a way then of establishing the habit so that you're automatically listening only to the will of God, the inner shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, no other. Many fall by the wayside at this point. They have a will and they want to express it. Those disciples of Jesus were chosen to show that you can be trained by your love of the Father, by your love of truth, by your understanding to yield your will in the knowledge that this will which you are yielding is an imposter, a transient will which dies when the form dies. And there is a permanent, perfect, eternal will waiting in the wings on the place whereon thou standest for you to say, yes, yes, of course you're here. Why didn't I know it before? The will with 1,000 eyes and 1,000 ears and 1,000 hands is waiting to perform its function where you stand. This is a yielding. And from it comes a great peace. You mean I can just relax and the will take over? That's what I've been saying to you for 2,000 years. Abide in me. Acknowledge me, accept me in quietness and confidence that I am here, and you will find strength beyond your imagination. What must you do for me to be here? It doesn't take any great brain. It takes no massive concentration. It just says, Father, I accept. You are here. I'm relaxed. I have trust, confidence, completely. You are here. I accept you finally. You are here. Now. And that's where you rest. I need no will because you are here. How do things get done? Well, Father, you're going to show me how they get done. I don't know. I'll rest in you. You've told me to, and I will. Obediently alert. Waiting. Only the will of the Father in you. There will be a day when you will look at a person's face and you will be able to say to yourself, only the will of the Father is being done in that individual, and therefore I never need fear this person. The will of the Father in that person must be friendly to me. And then you will look at those who are not doing the will of the Father, and you will say, the will of the Father is all that is there too. It simply isn't visible. And so I need never fear this person. Do you know of a place on this earth that is powerful enough to push away the will of the Father? I know none. I can tell you that the will of the Father is being done on earth now as it is in heaven. And when you have accepted that God is all, then only the will of God will be accepted as being present. And again, you'll be supplying the missing ingredient, that it makes no difference what appearances come to you. You know, God being all, Spirit being the only presence, the only life, the will of Spirit is being done right here and right now. Its will is simple, be ye perfect. And therefore, perfection is the acceptance of the perfect living will of God. This is the confidence you develop to rest in the knowledge that only perfection is being done, for that is the will of God. And only the unillumined will witness the appearances and be pressured by them. God's will is being done. Who can stop it? Nobody. Therefore, it's being done right there where I see other things. It was only my false sense of me which hadn't accepted God's will as being done. Now I have yielded my false will. There's no other will here. Only His will functioning. You see, you're walking in the kingdom. Nobody sees it, but you're walking in it. You're among the 500 who see the invisible form, which all had thought was buried, entombed, dug up again, resurrected in some way. And you're seeing it has never left this earth. It is the invisible Christ, and it is my substance. It is His substance. It is the enemy's substance. It is the warrior's substance. It is the unemployed man's substance. It is everyone's substance. Here and now I accept. I remove the will that will not accept and wait upon the Lord to manifest that which I have accepted as present. To him that hath shall be given. Do you see the invisible substance that is always present? Has not been accepted by the false sense of will. It being removed, we come unto the Father. Every word I have said to you, if you understand it, would make you take the next step yourself. I will sit down and I will discover the identity and presence of that false will. I don't know who wakes me up in the morning, and I won't wake up in that will. I will catch it before it begins its day. And I tell you, you cannot do this with a human mind alone, because the human mind will express that false will. You must get deep into the silence until you feel the growing power which says, I can stop this will from living. I can stand right here. Every time it rears its head to utter a syllable, I can stop it. And then there's this great power felt. You can turn to the Father and say, Father, there is no will here now, only your will. Speak, Father. There is no will here. I have overcome, maybe for 10 minutes, but I have overcome that will at this moment. I'm ready to listen to your will. And the moment you have overcome your will and will listen to the will of the Father, not with an and or a but, not 9/10 of his will and your little will peeking out from the corner, but totally, I'm ready to yield completely to your will, with no will of my own, then in rushes the Spirit, for the Father says, I am a jealous God. But when you open your heart and soul and mind and body to me, acknowledging me, my will, I come quickly. I have never seen a person try this without coming to a place where something changes in their consciousness. They find themselves about to do something and they say, wait a minute, is this my will or God's? And oh, how many times a day you find you have to reply, it isn't God's will at all. It has nothing to do with God's will. And then you must stop. If truth is your only purpose for being on this earth, you can't fool the eye in the midst of you. It knows when you are in your will or its will. And your reward is just as automatic. Now, it takes a lot of courage and understanding and vision to give up the very substance of all human life. And it won't be done unless something in you has ordained you to do it. I have the feeling that those who are ordained to do it are being drawn to our little group. That seems to be the purpose of this group. The little band who want to go through the ultimate truth, not talking about it, but completely willing to surrender their lives to his will. In all ways. No holds barred. It seems likely that this state of consciousness had to be reached for those who then went ahead into Jerusalem awaiting the Holy Ghost. For when it came because they were empty vessels. Their complete life had been shown to be a dedication to the Spirit. They had visibly, physically left their families so that we would know that you must visibly leave every concept that you have. Just as we had to see Thomas kneeling and saying, my Lord and my Master, we must kneel to the Christ within ourselves and say, my Lord and my Master. That takes a great deal of humility. It also takes spiritual understanding. For it is the way of transformation. That is the keynote, then, of all that will follow in our work. in this class. We wish to be worthy to receive the Holy Ghost. A few words were said to the Pharisees that must be repeated for us. When they said very skeptically, will the kingdom of God come to earth? When he told them it wouldn't come through observation, that was for those of us who still think, if I sit down and think hard enough, I'm going to penetrate into something. And when he told them, it is neither low here nor low there, but the kingdom of God is within you, you can show your understanding of those words by not seeking your betterment in the outer world. But instead, knowing that oranges on a tree are not supply, but the inner spirit is. Knowing that money is not supply, but the spirit is. Knowing that health is not supply, but the spirit is. So too that spirit in your consciousness. Be conscious of your spiritual identity. And you will discover that that spiritual identity will become your money, will become your betterment. And don't try with observation to figure out now just what is the way that it does this. Because while you're in that human mind, you are pushing it away. You must be an instrument, not a second self, a transparency, not a second will, a one self, not a second mind. The mind that wants to figure it all out, fine, go and figure it out. But have your deep moments of acceptance when the mind is totally still in a state of total no thought, resting in confidence of the presence of your own identity, not of a second identity. And you will find that the kingdom of God within you, your identity, is your outer betterment, is your outer health, is your outer supply. Your identity is those things now. And when you have accepted your identity and no other, that identity becomes the Word made flesh. That is the secret of I in the midst of you. All that I in the midst of you have is thine. I go to the Father. That's where your betterment is. That's where your supply is. That's where your health is. The kingdom of God within you is your self-completeness in Christ. And when you are not self-complete, when you think you lack something in the outer, what you're really lacking is the acceptance of Christ's identity. The veil to that acceptance is the false sense of self, which is the will saying, I lack, I need, I want, I've got to get this. That's only human ego. the false sense of self, the false will. Now, I hope we've made some penetration today. I would recommend that if you try the 30-day exercise, that you first give it one solid day in which whatever you do is the Father's will. If you don't succeed in that day, you know the other 29 are going to mean nothing. You must make that effort that first day to get the habit started. And if you find you haven't done it, don't go on a second day and figure that's your second day. That's still your first. Until you've spent the day doing it, it is not your first day. And then 29 more. While you're doing it, not this book, Contemplative Life, but parenthesis. That's where you should be reading the chapter that is devoted to just that. It's in the third section. It's losing I-ness in I. And I was told to do that chapter a paragraph a day. Not the whole chapter, but a paragraph a day. That would take roughly 30 days. While you're doing the other 30 days, this is to help you do it. Now, maybe five of you will do that. I can assure you that five who do will come back here again, and they will have swallowed the canary. They will know they have done something. Because it will change you. It will remove the finite self. It will show you the meaning of being absent from the body and present with the Lord when done correctly. This is a far cry, then, from the world's way. We have here a little article. It says, not only do the churches feel the quake's wrath down in Los Angeles, but listen to this. One of the pastors of one of the churches said they had planned to do a little work anyway on fixing up one of the buildings. I don't suppose we could replace it now for less than $1 million, though. We had passed a motion Monday night to do some work on it. But the Lord made a motion Tuesday morning, and that took precedence over ours. Isn't that fantastic? He really said it in jest, but behind it is the belief that in some way this was a punishment to Los Angeles from God. Now, I don't know what he can teach his congregation other than his belief. And this is a human, complete unawareness of the meaning of crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. No awareness that this is a teaching that Christ in you is living this very moment. I would like to see our children brought up in a repetition of those errors, when the truth is now very strong on the earth. And so we come to the end of our first class. We're preparing for Easter, I suspect, in which we do not say He has risen, but rather Christ in me is the accepted fact of my being. Part of our normal procedure is for the student who wishes questions to be answered to have them in writing. And if you will put them on the desk here before a class or during the intermission, preferably before, they will be answered in the class. We prefer it that way rather than to be spoken as questions from the audience. Well, Happy Valentine's Day with love.